The Youth's Instructor, April 17, 1902. How much owest thou? This question is broad and deep. We may try our best to compute by addition and multiplication the debt we owe to our Creator, but we shall fall far short of making a correct estimate of the favors and blessings He has bestowed upon us. I have been trying to enumerate some of the blessings we receive from God. 2 or 3 times a day, we sit down to a table spread with food to supply us with strength. This food is the Lord's. Those who eat 3 times a day are indebted to the Lord for 1,095 meals in 1 year. But how few remember when they partake of food that they are sitting at the Lord's table? How few bring the poor to their homes to share their blessings? Many are afraid to share with the poor that which the Lord has given them. They think that thus they would be made poor, forgetting the words, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty." Many who profess to be waiting for the coming of the Lord are absorbed in the things of this life. Many who are already wealthy think only of how they can obtain more wealth. They take little or no interest in the advancement of Christ's kingdom. Dollars and cents are more to them than the souls of men. These may have earthly treasure, but in the sight of God, they are poorer than the poorest. They may have houses and land and money at their disposal, but every year their soul poverty increases. The record in the courts above shows them to be bankrupt. They may be adding to their earthly gain, but each day they are adding to their eternal loss. A professed Christian once said, "I have been a Christian for many years, and it has cost me only 25 cents." Think you that this man could expect to be a partaker in the glory of Him who gave His life for sinners? Could he look for a seat beside the one who counted not his life dear unto himself, that he might rescue the perishing? This professed Christian has been rich in good works to the value of 25 cents. Such was his estimate of the worth of redemption. His testimony called forth from the minister the well-deserved reproof, "The Lord have mercy on you, poor, stingy soul." And to this we say, Amen. God tests all men. To some He entrusts riches. This He does to see if they will use earthly riches in such a way that He can bestow on them the heavenly riches. To others He sends poverty and affliction to lead them to turn to Him in trusting confidence. Many who endure the test of poverty and sickness fail when prosperity comes to them. While they feel that they are dependent on their Heavenly Father for all they have, they preserve their purity and simplicity. But when prosperity comes to them and they accumulate riches, they forget the Giver. They lose their trust in God. Self-confident and self-sufficient, they look upon their prosperity as the result of their own wisdom and perseverance. They forget that as their money increases, God desires them to use it in doing good. The world says, "It is of more consequence to be rich than good." And many in the church have adopted this standard and are acting accordingly. Men who can make money are applauded. The love of money is lowering the standard of Christianity. God's Son was sold for money. Filled with covetousness, Judas betrayed Him to the priests for 30 pieces of silver. Thus is illustrated the power of covetousness over the human heart. Today, men sell truth and righteousness for worldly gain. Covetousness has taken its abode in the hearts of professing Christians. Those who have all for which heart can wish live for self-gratification, while the poor lie at their gates, unnoticed and unhelped. Money is a curse unless it is used in the Master's service. With our means and our influence, we are to work for Him. God forbid that we should live for self, devoting time and means to selfish interests. When Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven, He will then have no use for the money He has entrusted to us. It is now that we are to give it to Him. He calls upon us to bring Him our tithes and offerings now, and He promises, if we do this, to pour upon us such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Shall we take Him at His word? His claims upon us transcend every other claim. The first and best of all that we have belongs to Him.